Another issue in neoadjuvant therapy is the choice of chemotherapy versus endocrine treatment in patients with ER-positive, HER2-negative tumors who desire breast conservation, but where the breast tumor size ratio is not adequate. Our survey indicated that in a 40-year-old patient, 82% of investigators versus 52% of general surgeons would use pre-op therapy, mainly chemo. In the same situation, in a 70-year-old woman, 75% of the investigators, but only 20% of general surgeons would use neoadjuvant therapy, mainly endocrine treatment, as commented on by Dr. Pegram.
Clearly, in my experience at UCLA, our surgeons were very in tune to cosmesis, and consequently, we had a lot of referrals for lesions just like this one to consider neoadjuvant chemotherapy for downstaging. The key issue, you have to hit the nail on the head, Neil, of course, is whether or not the patient is a candidate for chemo as opposed to neoadjuvant endocrine therapy alone. And with regard to the age breakdown, however, I'm not surprised. Certainly in the elderly, clinicians are less inclined to consider induction chemotherapy, but there will be really no downside to using neoadjuvant endocrine therapy in this age range. There's ample data from the Europeans and also from Matt Ellis's group in St. Louis showing that there are meaningful clinical responses with neoadjuvant endocrine therapy, and it's a viable therapeutic option for such patients.
Peter, what are your thoughts about this issue of neoadjuvant therapy in general, particularly the issue of hormonal therapy and how it seems different on each side of the Atlantic?
Well, I think that it's very important in considering this to think about what the estrogen receptor status of the patient is, because neoadjuvant therapy in general has been less successful in ER-positive patients. And chemotherapy, it doesn't surprise me that there's a fair amount of bias toward chemotherapy, particularly in younger patients, because chemotherapy has, in general, a faster response. The response rates are higher, although I think that that's in part because you're looking at an average where you're including a lot of ER-negative patients. So that if you have an ER-positive patient, unfortunately, neoadjuvant therapy's response rates are lower, in particular for chemotherapy, and not too different for endocrine therapy. So I think for an ER-positive patient, you could use either.
Mike, you had a paper recently I thought was really interesting about how long you use neoadjuvant endocrine therapy. These were patients on the aromatase inhibitor letrozole, and sort of rather than taking them right to surgery, you were carrying them out for a fairly long time before they went to surgery. How do you approach these patients?
Yeah, I mean, we learned something from the chemotherapy studies. The longer you treat them, the better the response you get. So we've been treating patients for longer durations with endocrine therapy, instead of 3 to 4 months, 6 months, 9 months, and a year. And if you do that, you can convert about 70% of the patients who at presentation require a mastectomy. And these are this type of patient, strongly ER positive, usually PR positive. You convert 70% of them eventually, either from locally advanced breast cancer or requiring a mastectomy to breast conserving surgery. So undoubtedly, prolonged durations. As we've heard, endocrine therapy tends to work a bit slower. The other thing that happens in endocrine therapy is, many of you know, it's the pathology of the response. What you get is a central scar with neoadjuvant endocrine therapy. The cancer implodes, so the size of the cancer you've got at the end is the size of the bit of tissue that you need to remove.